The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate, and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. Well, the mountain road is open. Faulty Will still closed. The matrix sign from Sulby to the mountain saying Faulty Will is closed. And Victoria Street's going to be closed for a couple of weeks from Sunday. Well, that'll be fun, won't it? More to talk about. It was really sad yesterday. One of the saddest things in the world, I think you can see, was a burnt-out ice cream van. Did you notice that yesterday? There was some traffic disruption on Halewood Avenue because there was an ice cream van, and ice cream vans bring nothing but joy, and the thing burnt out yesterday. So certainly to the operators and the people behind the business, we wish them well. Let's get to the lines now. David's first on. Hi, David.
Hi, Danny. A couple of things I want to try and run past you and ask our listeners really to comment on. The first one is our government transparent and open with its population? My answer to that is no. And the quick fix on that is where the Minister for Education is refusing to give us the terms and conditions for the examination of what happened to QE2. Which should be open and transparent. How do people or parents know, or school governors know who to contact? We know it's a police officer, former senior police officer. Can't be a secret who he is or she. And the other one was, I think it was a civil servant. So I don't know what's going on there. And it just gives us a black mark.
Well, they say it's to keep the terms of reference private and to avoid prejudice.
Well, how can people comment? How can Joe Public, the parents of those kiddies that were involved in that, there's no secret that it happened within the QE2. And I'd be furious if that was my grandchild that was there. And I would want to know where my grandchild, well, goes to the bigger school, is what's going to happen there in the future. Are we going to know anything, or are they just going to hide it? Which seems to be really, and I hope the Chief Minister and the Council Minister correct that, because that's not being open and transparent what they said they were going to do. Now, the other thing I was going to say, Andy, and I'm sorry for taking your time up, but it's serious, is regarding the gas industry. And I'm grateful for the company that come above the parapet and said they're having difficulties training their qualified people without sending them away, which costs them a fortune. And I know the government say they give them £500, but it's the loss of time to the company. They're away from their families for 3 or 4 days. You know what it's like? They may never get back if the plane's not running. Now, I've suggested everybody gets onto the MHK. Obviously, I can't get onto one. But Rob Collister has promised me this morning. I sent him an email at 9 o'clock, and I just want to put it out there. 9:30, he came back to me. He said, give us the gist of it. I've given the gist of it, and I'm hoping he's going to do something about it. I mean, it's an appalling situation where craftsmen have to be recredited in law, and they can't do it unless they go across. That's shameful.
Well, it would just seem as though, I'm not pointing fingers, but the system, whether it's government, whether it's civil service, but they're putting hurdles in the way, as you say, of the people who do this to actually, you know, they've got to validate this. They've got to be certified to do the job. So to say that they have to go off the island just seems a bit. Yeah. Well, I'm sure money's at the bottom of it all, but really.
Yeah, Can I say too, is when there's a lot of companies in the Isle of Man, the first time around when it was up there, down by the laundry there, supported the Board of Education at the time and provided boilers for from companies like Qplus, provided some gas boilers and oil boilers. There was a company in Ireland that shipped a boiler over for the craftsmen to work on, or the apprentices to work on, and give them a thing of making those boilers efficient and run smoothly. So what's going to happen in the future? People are not going to get them serviced. We're going to have accidents. And that's the whole part of it. Health and safety, which government hangs all the time, health and safety, they're restricting it.
And also, you know, what's important is that, you know, if your boiler isn't correctly maintained or not maintained by a certified person, your household insurance is invalid.
And the guarantee. And that puts us in a the tenants anyway, or not tenants as such, because they'll get done by the local authority, but the ordinary people out there who are struggling as well to get their boiler serviced at the right price. And if people put their prices up, we're in a cleft stick then, aren't we? We have to get these done. And like you say, insurance becomes straight away valid if you're not done it. And I'm hoping people and the other companies that's behind it too, I'd like to see the Chamber of Commerce make a statement and the Employers Federation come out and support the industry and say what they're going to do when they meet government and tell them, let's get this sorted.
Okay. All right. We appreciate that, David. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Cheers now. Howard's with us now on Man in Line. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Randy. Just something that would have been glanced over in lots of cases, but it was on your news on the internet, that the DOI have said there was 900, they've notified 900 defects that occurred during the construction of the promenade. Now, people just glance at that and then pass it over. But when you look at it, the promenade is only 3 miles long, and that's 300 defects per mile. Now, if that was in a motorway situation or any other type of situation like that, that would be horrific. Here on the island, they've just passed it over, so it's just one of these things that happen. And, what is the cost that's going to incur to the public? It's not to the DOI, it's to the public. I keep saying this. For the repair of these, and if you notice, when you come from the sea terminal end, just as you pass the Jubilee Clock area and go onto that rise, and I can't see for what reason they ever done that, it looks like cobblestones, then you go onto the actual promenade roadway. That's breaking up. Now, it's not going to be too long before that there is going to have to be lifted and replaced. And they've only just handed the road over to the government last year.
Well, they say it is passed. Over 900 defects notified through the contractual process. So this is obviously going on. And they're obviously in negotiation with Alden, the people who've done it.
Yes, but how come there were 900 defects in a 3 mile road, and who was overseeing this, and who is going to pay the final cost? Because you can bet your bottom dollar the company that was working on that promenade has been paid, and the costs are going to fall back again on the taxpayers.
Oh, I think we all know who's going to pay the bill, Howard.
Yep. But 900 defects on a 3 mile stretch of road is shameful. And the DOI should come down heavy on this and ensure that it is fully completed. This in the defects, it doesn't even mention the £1 million that went shy and means we've got a grass verge instead of a tramway.
And it doesn't even mention, although it may not be their responsibility, those lampposts that have got wires sticking out of the top and half of them don't work.
Well, I went along the promenade not so very long ago, and all the new festoonal lighting, as they call it, there was one light that was lit. The rest were all dark. They were off, broken or otherwise. I suppose I did hear that they were fitting new units to it. But again, where does the cost of these fall? Because they're all They're brand new and they shouldn't be falling to pieces like that.
I just wonder, were we so wrong in thinking that pretty coloured lights were a good thing for Douglas Brom? Was that a wrong thing to think?
It's part of it. When you're coming in by sea, and anybody that's got any manxness in their hearts will see those lights and know they are home. It's like the old three legs of man on the Manx Airlines aeroplanes. You saw them anywhere in the airport, and you had a feeling of pride. And those lights that were on the promenade, they could have been exchanged or operated, but instead they put these miserable-looking lights, and they don't show anything out to sea as such. You can hardly see them if you're going along the promenade. And during the summer months, nobody's going to see them at all. So, it is farcical. Another question is, now that they've done that, or they're in the throes of it on Victoria Street, why was it necessary to build up when they put that crossing from Duke Street to the next Duke Street? Why didn't they just put drop curbs in and put a zebra crossing in there? Instead of all the disruption we've had now for months and months, putting this farcical brickwork in, and if they'd have put a double drop curb in, sufficiently wide for people to walk across from one Duke Street to another, would that have not been more sensible and allowed the traffic to flow freely down through there?
You can guarantee one thing, Howard. When it all comes out, apparently lessons will be learned.
Yes, I seriously doubt it.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I would question that 900 volt in defects. And I would seriously look at that and look at who's going to be recompensed, because they should have somewhere in there a bond within that contract.
Okay, all right. That's great. All right, thanks, Howard.
Take care.
All right. All right, good to hear from you. Let's go to David now. Hi, David.
Oh, good afternoon, Andy. I just want to follow on from what the first David said at the beginning of your show in reference to the investigation in QE2.
Yeah.
Now, when Jason posed his question number 16 yesterday, I was hoping for a really powerful defence from Julie Edge as to why she won't release the tours. But we didn't. All she said is she wouldn't release the tours in case it might prejudice, and this is the key bit, the outcome of the investigation. Now, I used to be one of the independent investigators that could have been called on to do this sort of investigation. I've done them in the past for the desk. As a professional trained investigator, I simply do not understand how publishing any tours that I may have had would prejudice any findings that I would come up with. So please, can you help explain it to me? Because I don't understand it.
Well, what do you read into it? What do you read into that, David?
I don't know. I just don't know what to read. I'm flabbergasted. That's why I'd invite, information from other callers. Some people have said on social media she might think they're referring to, it might build up prejudice against the LGBTQ+ community, against the whole drag scene, etc. But that's not what she said. She said prejudice the outcome of the investigation. And I simply don't understand it. I said that I used to do all these lots of investigations for government departments. I don't do them now so much. Probably my freedom of information requests have put a stop to that, especially with the desk. But it really is very, very disappointing. And if I was a parent of a Year 7 child at QE2, I would be camped out in that head teacher's office. I'd be camped out in Graham Kinraid's office. I'll be requisitioning public meetings. Something has got to be made more transparent. It's cloak and daggers. How will people have confidence in it? Time and time again, Julie Edge has said she wants to be transparent. She's anything but. She's a master of obfuscation.
All right. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right, this is the story about Jason Morehouse, the Arbury Castle Town Maloui MHK. Well, Jason Morehouse says it's frustrating and a lack of transparency has created a void in information, a void for members of the public as well. Details about the investigation into how the relationships and sex education advisory curriculum is being taught in Manx schools will remain confidential. Well, the MHKs will know about it. DESC has defended the decision to keep terms of reference private until it's complete, saying it wants to avoid, quote, prejudice, unquote. It appointed independent external investigators at the start of March following concerns about the delivery of the curriculum within secondary schools. You got any thoughts on the matter? Then get in touch. Let's go on to Nigel with us now. Hi, Nigel.
Hi, Andy. It's a topic that you may have discussed before. I don't listen to your programme all the time. I had reason to drive from Kirkmichael to Douglas via Ballacrane last night. And I noticed that there's basically, apart from when you go into the individual villages, there's a 40 mile per hour repeater sign all the way, or individual signs, all the way from Kirkmichael through to Douglas.
All the way?
All the way through, yes. Apart from when you go into the individual villages where they might have their own speed limits. Very small. The standards, half the size of a standard sort of traffic sign, but little repeaters all the way along the road. I don't know if this is something that's happened. I've not driven that way for some time, so I don't know whether it's been there for a while, whether people have been on your program commenting about it. I just thought, when you actually drive that way, very few cars are actually going to do 40 miles an hour all the way from Kirkmichael through to Ballacrane and then through to Douglas. So I don't know if it's some sort of stealth by government to sort of keep the speed limit down. I just wondered if anybody had any views or anybody other than myself has got an issue with that.
You're the first person to raise this. Yeah. What's your view about it, Nigel?
Well, I don't want to be seen that I'm some crazy driver that wants to do 70 mile an hour all the way through. I'm a responsible driver, but I'd say somewhere 40 miles an hour from Kirkmichael through to Ballacrane is ridiculous. The cars I were from, nobody was doing that speed. But I don't know when these signs went up or how long they've been up. Or again, to me, it's ridiculous. But
Also, I mean, on that road, at times, you will get tractors and agricultural vehicles pulling out.
Yes.
And, you know, you need to get past them sometimes, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah. Again, like I said, I've put a freedom of information request in, so maybe the reason I've called you because it could be up to 20 days before I get a response on that. But I just thought what other listeners might have a view on it, or maybe you've heard something, I missed something in the papers that was advertising.
Well, I scanned the papers. I can't remember seeing anything about it. So if anybody knows about where these have come from and how long they've been there, then please get in touch. All right.
Or a DOI member come on and explain the reason behind it or the logic. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay,
anyway, Andy.
Okay, I appreciate that, Nigel. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right,
bye.
Now it's 24 minutes past 12, and Nick's with us now. Hi, Nick.
Hi, good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, good, thanks.
Oh, good, okay. I had a quick question, please, and it's unrelated to the previous few questions. I'm seeing quite a bit about these three banks so far in America that have closed, and it looks like it's getting me a little bit worried. I don't have any money really to worry about, but it makes me concerned about what is actually going on and what's going to be the outcome of this, and should we be worried? And I was hoping that our four regular contributors could maybe shed some light on it. They are quite well versed in pretty much everything, and including Bondo. If they could all, you know, maybe let us know what their view is on what's going on in America, that would be.
I mean, well, they say in the UK, they say that the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and the UK arm. The UK arm was bought for a dollar, for less than a pound, by HSBC. So they're saying that everything's going to be covered. I mean, obviously, they're terrified of, it ripping through the market and this being the start of something.
Exactly. The domino effect or snowball, and people are, I don't think a whole lot of people are aware of actually what is going on and what could happen because of that, because they're not going to be wanting people to know, because people will start panicking and, well, trying to remove their funds that don't exist. Okay. And then who knows what next? I mean, are they, and I mean that term very broadly, is this, you know, part of what we're being told to expect, conversion to, what is it, the World Bank?
Okay, all right, thanks for that. We appreciate you raising the point. If anybody's got any, and certainly it's something that only those in the know will know about, whether or not these banks in America, certainly Silicon Valley Bank sold its portfolio, I think, at a hefty loss last year, and it was only a couple of days later that it just went. But it's covered in America, all the people who've got money in it, and a lot of it are tech startups that have got money in it, but the UK end is okay. So it's something we're certainly going to keep an eye on. Let's see, David is with us. Hi, David.
Hello, Andy. Just a comment on the lack of information coming from government, especially Julie Edge, over the gas industry. I received a letter in January 2020 to tell me that the training was finishing up the college, and here we are 3 years later with total incompetence on behalf of the government. I've been up to speak to the people at the college. Everything's still there. It just needs upgrading. It needs to be brought up to a certain standard. Now, you imagine how many people are leaving the island to do the training across and the money it's costing them. I won't be doing my training again once my ticket runs out. Like a lot of plumbers of my age, we're just not going to go off island to do it. And I know I'm speaking to quite a few companies, and they're not taking on apprentices anymore because when they finish serving the time, they've got no gas qualifications or accreditation. So they can't send them out to service or renew a boiler, take a kitchen out of the hob or a fire or a gas cooker or whatever. So it's going to hemorrhage. It won't be apparent next year or the year after, but as we go further and further down the line, you're going to have these apprentices, which are now fully time served, that are not qualified. And it's going to have a massive effect because I think the majority of gas people and plumbers on the island are the wrong side of 50 rather than, you know, early 20s. And it's for something to take 3 years without even any hint of resolving the problem is beyond incompetence.
How could the government solve it?
Quite easily solve it is by get the college up to a standard by spending some money. You know, in Tramode, at the back of Pascoe's, I did my training there in 2004. It was a state-of-the-art training centre, brand new, everything in it brand new. Do your gas, your oil, your electric. You know what it is now? A skate park. An indoor skate park. How much money has been wasted in those years? And who made that decision? They moved it from Tramode up to the college and then rented it out to somebody as a skate park. The college must be losing thousands and thousands of pounds a year by not having the revenue of the training provider and not having the people in there, you know, using the canteen and spending money. It's abysmal, really.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that. We appreciate it. Cheers now.
Oh, Andy.
Yeah.
Andy, one brief thing.
Okay.
I've been in touch with Macquarie. I've been in touch with the tourism department, and I've been in touch with the fire officer. If you're renting your property out for gas, for TT, homestay, and you've got 8 gas appliances, whatever it is in that property, you must have a gas safety certificate. A landlord's gas safety, because you're inviting people into your home, you're taking money off them, so you must be able to prove that every gas appliance in there is safe.
Okay, all right.
It's falling on deaf ears with the tourism industry and Macquarie.
All right, thanks for calling then.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. Well, this is a story about the system that used to see the retraining of gas-safe registered engineers here on the Isle of Man to the apparent satisfaction of all, which hasn't been reinstated after COVID. The DESC, Department of Education, Sport and Culture, say facilities at University College Isle of Man where training could happen need to be updated. But companies who now use off-island training are not happy. John Moss has been looking at the situation.
A number of firms on the island say the alternative, which is sending staff away to Swindon for retraining, robs them of those staff for days and is costly. The Education Department told us the UCM facilities need to be updated for training to take place. They then go on to list the financial support given for staff going off island for gas training, including a travel and accommodation cost contribution of £500 per engineer. But Leanne Harper, Director of Energy Management Services, says it's still prohibitive to send their staff staff off Ireland, besides which they've been left in the dark as to what exactly is happening.
We used to send our engineers down to a training facility in Tramode, where EDS, which is Energy Development Services, used to come over to the island.
They're from across the water?
They're from across in the UK. They would come over with one or two trainers for a period of time, maybe 1-2 weeks, and they would put on these courses, obviously, for all the engineers on the Isle of Man. We'd send our engineers for possibly 2, 3 or 4 days, depending on what training they needed, and then it was done. During COVID, we were given like 6 months leeway on our training. We've still not had EDS been able to come over. We were told by the government it was going to be a company called ESGAS that was going to come over and provide the training for us. And since, well, we've just not heard anything. We just don't really know what's going on.
So what training have you been doing? Have you been able to do? How do you organise it?
So we basically organise it direct with EDS, who used to come over, but we now have to travel to them. It's flights, travel time. You know, you're looking a day to get off the island, travel with an overnight stop in a hotel. Then you do 3 days worth of training. And then the following day, you'd have to travel back. So we're kicking on 5 days. That, you know, they'll reimburse us for some part of the travel. It doesn't cover their cost of wages. It doesn't cover the cost of them being away from their families. We've heard rumours, oh yeah, they're going to do it, they're not going to do it, this, that and the other. So we just got that fed up. We're spending hundreds and hundreds of pounds sending all our engineers away, and it's just ludicrous. So we emailed Julie Edge, the minister, on the 19th of January 23, and we've still not had a reply. We chased the educational department about that, and they said we were next on the list. So that was on the 20th of February. And yeah, what's the date today? They're spending more reimbursing all these people on the Isle of Man than it would do to send two people over to do training for 2 weeks.
There it is. That's Leanne Harper, Director of EMS Energy Management Services of Hills Meadow in Douglas. Everybody needs gas fitters. Everybody needs boiler service engineers. Everybody needs this. And I don't know what's your thought on this matter. Lots of people telling us, apparently the 40-mile-an-hour signs between Kirkmichael and the Ballycorrane Way into Douglas are for TT work, preparation for TT. So any thoughts on anything today, by all means, get in touch. Got lots of emails and texts and WhatsApps to get to.
Right. I say, when you're looking for the perfect bathroom, get your silly walk over to Pacesetter, where you'll get friendly help and advice on bathrooms that will work for you. From practical, accessible bathrooms for ageing users to the ultimate in luxury designs with walk-in showers and wet rooms, with no inquisitions, dead birds or hard sell. You'll always be on the bright side of life when you see the stunning range on display at Pacesetter Tile and Bathroom Studio, Harris Terrace, Douglas, or search online for Pacesetter Douglas.
Give your home a facelift with Manx Glass and Glazing. Whether choosing aluminium or UPVC in traditional or contemporary styles, you can be sure of excellent workmanship and guarantees. Members of Construction Isle of Man and family run for over 30 years, Manx Glass and Glazing are committed to the local community, and they invest in future generations through their apprenticeship scheme. Visit the impressive showroom on Snugborough Trading Estate. Trust Manx Glass and Glazing. Quality and style since 1986.
ShopRite. Shopping that's better all round. Shopping that costs less before you even start. Less travel, fuel and time. Because our stores are local to you. Prices? ShopRite has low prices as well as price matching. And switch and save is something else. Sainsbury's own brand. Hundreds of items you buy every day. Famous Sainsbury's quality assured, adding up to pounds less at the checkout. ShopRite, proudly locally owned.
Office World at Spring Valley Industrial Estate is home to the island's largest stockist of both office and home office furniture. With ergonomic sit-stand workstations and posture seating solutions, extensive ranges of both general and home office desking and seating, and a huge range of complimentary desktop accessories. Many popular items held in stock on island for speedy delivery or collection. Office World Spring Valley. Open 9 till 5:30 Monday to Friday.
Office World! A rejuvenated FC Isle of Man are back on Manx shores once again this weekend, and they'll be able to continue their recent good run under the floodlights in Douglas. The Ravens welcome Longridge Town to the bowl in the NWCFL Premier Division this Saturday, with both teams vying for vital results to secure their safety. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Tony Meppen for FC Isle of Man versus Longridge Town, kicking off at 6 p.m. this Saturday. Manx Radio will be providing full live match commentary on our AM 1368 and digital platforms. Live coverage of FC Isle of Man on Manx Radio is supported by Selton, investing in our community.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for joining in today. And if you have any thoughts on the prompt in particular, 900 snags apparently outside the Sefton Hotel, says Fred. One of the crossing points is in a very shabby state. It's sunk, it's breaking up, and that part of the promenade was done by, who was it done by? I received a letter from the then gas training provider on the 20th of January 2020 explaining they wouldn't be able to continue gas training and accreditation. So who is willing to sort this out? That was over 3 years ago. Classic example of government incompetence. Surely Julie Edge has to pass the responsibility to somebody who can sort this out, says David S. Let's have a look. I don't trust this government, and I don't trust Kroger. The Manx government don't know what they're doing, and they've sold our gas to investors, says B. Well, no, they licensed the seabed, B, 775. The license for the seabed was allocated to a company that took it on, and they're using all their own money to see if there's gas there. Remember, they say there's gas there. BP said there was gas there. But who knows? It may just be, it's a game of roulette, really. If there is gas there, this company is putting their money. There's not a penny of public money going into it. So we'll see what happens. And presumably, there will be revenue for the Manx Treasury to apportion as they see fit. We'll see. I completely agree with Howard, says Pat, about the lights and the promenade. 900 problems. Victoria Street and Duke Street, text to 535, closing to through traffic for 2 weeks, and it's still not going to be finished. What are they using to do the work? Why couldn't they have done the road the same time as doing pedestrian crossing? There's only one prom defect altering the prom in the first place. If it ain't broken, don't fix it, says John. Well, I think everybody knew the prom had to be sorted out at some point. Remember, the road surface was patchy, to say the least, across the prom. And nobody had a plan of what was underneath the prom. So they found stuff. They found pipes they didn't know about. They found pipes going to somewhere they didn't know about, pipes coming from other places. So we'll presume that everything underneath the roadway and walkway is fine now. It's just they haven't quite finished the top bit yet. Howard's point about the prom already showing signs of deterioration points to the larger picture on the Isle of Man that others have already touched on, namely the attitude of government towards infrastructure and the general appearance of the Isle of Man, from the airport to the sea terminal, to the bus station. Really, thank you for that. The mountain road has reopened, by the way, in case you didn't know, from Ramsey to the Craig. So we can now make journeys across there. Julie Edge is just covering up a mistake for her and for other people's. It's really as simple as that, says John. Well, we'll get to the point of this then. This is a story, in case you missed it, details about the investigation into how the relationships and sex education advisory curriculum is being taught in Manx schools will remain confidential. You and I won't see it. We'll see it when it's completed, but at the moment, it's not for our eyes. Education, Sport and Culture Minister Julie Edge, MHK, has defended the decision to keep information secret until it's complete, saying her department wants to avoid prejudice. But Timwell members have been given the terms of reference for the probe, something that's left the Arbury Castle Town and Maloo MHK, Jason Morehouse, himself a former teacher, puzzled.
The terms of reference have not been released so as not to prejudice the outcome of the investigation. Timwell members requested for the information to be released to them, which we did, and we felt that was to be supportive to all Timwell members. It has not been released any further than that.
It's rather concerning that the information we've got isn't radically different from what a ordinary person in the centre of Strand Street this morning would guess is being looked at. So I still find it difficult to actually understand why we need to keep it confidential. But also referring to the interview the Chief Minister made on the 2nd of March, he referred to a lawyer and a former member of the police heading the inquiry. Concerns have been raised following that about the emphasis being on legality. From what was said in the interview, there's been really no reference to specialists in RSC or an educational background being part of the team, and this is causing concern in the wider community. Is that something she can comment in terms of confidentiality and what has been put out into the public domain by a senior politician?
The department's initiated an independent external investigation using trained investigators who will speak to the key stakeholders where required. Until the facts of that situation have been established through that external independent investigation that we have initiated, I'm unable to comment any further.
Does the Minister agree with me that by actually holding back this confidential information, it's actually creating a void and potentially creating unintended events? Transparency could potentially have prevented this. I'm also aware of one secondary school that's actually adopted the curriculum recommended by her department, but two refused. In terms of those refusals, did the Minister actually ask for an update on why that happened? And have the people investigating this been given this information? Because it looks to be quite a material situation in terms of what the department's done and how they're responding now.
The investigators will look at all of the situation and ensure that they gather the appropriate information, and we will release a full report in due course. With regards to the RSC curriculum, it is advisory, and therefore no school is required to deliver the exact content provided. They can tailor it to their school environment, and I'm not aware of two schools refusing to deliver it.
There she was, Julie Edge, MHK. Do you think that's a valid... Well, I mean, it's what's happening, so we can do nothing about it, but do you appreciate the validity of the point about keeping it confidential? Text, email, call, WhatsApp, whatever you want to talk about. That point from text to 475 about how the prom is showing signs of deterioration and the attitude of government towards the infrastructure, the general appearance of the Isle of Man, from the airport to the sea terminal to dilapidated eyesores, overgrown vergers on the Isle of Man. Texter 475 says, the Isle of Man looks tired, it looks run down, and there doesn't seem to be any sign of improvement on the way. This then feeds into how people feel about their environment, because if you see muck, untidiness around you, it's often tempting to buy into that and think, well, if nobody else is bothering, if nobody else can care about throwing litter around or tidying up vergers, why should I? So people who leave dog mess, people who drop litter, David in Crosby says, look, if the government isn't bothered, why should we be bothered? And, you know, when you look at the promenade and when you look at the fact that Douglas Council won't replace, hasn't got a timetable to replace that plastic, blue plastic fencing that's got rusting metal inside it, that frankly looks, it's an embarrassment. It's when you have to explain it to visitors who come to the Isle of Man, what can you say? So bits of the Isle of Man that have kind of fallen off in the past, you know, you look around it, just look at some of the state of our pillar boxes and telephone boxes. They're unpainted. They're not bright red anymore. Look at the fact that we've lost lots of sub-post offices. You know, our Saturday postal deliveries went. Saturday postal collections went. We don't have hassle-free car parking at the airport that we used to have. It used to be simple to park at the airport. At the airport, you've got that big plastic advert in arrivals, which means that unmitigated joy of seeing people coming from the plane or the people who came from the plane seeing you is gone for a few shillings. We only have short trips on the horse trams. The TT scoreboard is gone. And under threat, we've got the government looking at the heritage railway network, seeing if it's worth the money. The Laxey Wheel hasn't been finished. They're talking about charging for parking at Nobles Hospital. The politicians are very well-meaning. I just wonder whether they often get the picture of what we're doing. It's left down to volunteer groups to clean things up. Bill Dale's beach buddies have been cleaning beaches assiduously now for years. But whose responsibility is that? They've taken up, picked up the cudgels and they do it. There's a new group of volunteers who want to make a positive change to the Isle of Man, and they're meeting for the first time this week. They're meeting this coming Thursday, tomorrow, 3:30 to 4:30. And if you can be there, then be there. It's just below Manx Radio. It's Douglas Head Buddies, a meeting to clear up one of the jewels in the crown of the Isle of Man, Douglas Head. Laura Mowat is appealing for residents, especially families, to join in. The first event starts 3:30, just after school closing time tomorrow, at Douglas Head. There are a few places on and around Douglas Head, grass, hedgerows, the lighthouse beach, the low road area, that need to be cleaned up. Now, Beach Buddies are partnering with them. They're providing all the necessary equipment to remove rubbish collected afterwards, recycling as much as possible, including plastics, metal and glass. But then again, these are volunteers who are clearing up public areas. So is it now down to us, the people, to clean up what used to be done by government, national and local government? You got any thoughts on the matter? Text, email, call, WhatsApp. Love to hear from you.
Washing machine broken? Car had a prang? Unexpected bills arrived on your doorstep? Members of Manx Credit Union have applied for loans for all these reasons and more. Manx Credit Union provides savings and small loans for people living on the Isle of Man. Find out what we can do for you. Come and see our friendly team at Ragnall House on Peel Road in Douglas or visit mcu.im. Manx Credit Union. We're not just for you. We're with you. Terms and conditions apply.
Mom, Dad, there's no hot water again.
Having trouble with hot water and heating? Energy prices are rocketing, and there's never been a more important time to make sure your heating system is in tip-top condition. Home Warm by Energy Management Systems is the simple way to spread the cost for essential maintenance, starting from just $7.99 per month. For peace of mind and money-saving advice, call EMS on 613 210 or find us on Facebook. Home Warm by EMS. Become our priority.
Heard the goss? You've another chance to win with Millie Chaps of Ramsey. We've got some new celebs in a bed. Call in at Parliament Street and see if you can identify the famous people. Text their names and your name to 166177, starting your message with the word bed. All correct entries will go into the big prize draw live on Manx Radio at the end of the month to win an incredible bed worth £500. And be sure to check out Millie Chaps' extensive bed range at the island's only Temper Collection studio. Celebs in a bed again with Millie Chaps of Ramsey and your nation station, Manx Radio.
Shh, mum's the word. And this weekend, we've teamed up with the cast and crew from the Manx Operatic Society show, Annie Get Your Gun, to give you a chance to win two tickets for you and your mum to see the show next week. All you need to do is play along with Mum's the Word on our Facebook page and identify our mum movies. Text your answer, starting your message with mum to 166177. Don't forget to include your name. Mum's the Word this Mother's Day with the Manx Operatic Society and your nation station, Manx Radio.
Alex, your tea's ready.
Thanks, Mum.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, it's 11 minutes before one. Howard's back. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. You know, just listen to saying about how the countryside and everywhere around the island is looking tired. If you're, I don't know what studio you're in there, but if you're looking out and down over the Brew, down towards the harbour, you'll see there's daffodils coming out now. Well, I put them there over 30 years ago in memory of my mother and father. There's a bench there. And because it was due, the town council, they do not cut them down, they do not mess or otherwise, they're all left and they just die back naturally. And after that period, they gradually tidied up the Douglas Head area. But that is in effect for the green flag. And I've said this before, once you get over to where the flats are, where the amusement arcade used to be, it stops. And I do voluntary down at the Camera Obscura, and I have to cut the grass and keep the area tidy and all sorts, because it just stops there at that hedgerow going down towards the Obscura. And they've been forced to tidy up the verges, etc., around on the Marine Drive of recent by people coming onto your programme. But I'll say this, I've noticed in the last 3 or 4 months or more that the Parks Department of the Douglas Corporation have been going around and cutting down overgrown hedgerows and bushes and generally tidying up the area. I'll give credit where it's due. These lads have worked hard and they've made a good job. And now whether somebody's been in there and said something, but the all around the estates, etc., have been generally getting tidied up. And that person that was on there before said that if the place is untidy, you get to the point where you say, oh, to hell with it, I'm not going to bother. And the children growing up through into this are going to have that attitude. They're just going to throw things away and just dump them. But it's down to the people of the island to keep chastising both their commissioners and the corporation and the government, because the airport, it used to be a wonderful place to come in through, and as you say with that big advert on the glass wall for a couple of shillings, then you went out the front and you could wait for a bus or a coach or whatever it was, and there were beautiful gardens there. Then they got completely overgrown, and the briars and everything that were growing there were as good as barbed wire. They were vicious. And I wrote into the chief of the airport at the time, and nothing was ever done. 2 years later, those self-same briars were still there. So it's within government. A lot of the attitude is, oh, it'll sort it. It'll sort itself. Mm. It doesn't.
Okay. So, all right. Well, we appreciate that, Howard, and long may your work and everybody else's work, all the fine people who volunteer at the Camera Obscura.
Yeah, and we will be open, hopefully, weather permitting, over Easter.
Okay, thanks, Howard.
Take care. Bye now.
All right, cheers now. Everybody wanting to know details of this Douglas Head Buddies, it's 3:30 tomorrow, March the 16th, just 3:30 to 4:30. You don't need to bring anything. Everything's going to be provided, all the gloves and the bags and the litter pickers. There'll be a safety talk beforehand as well, all the public liability insurances. It's Bill Dale, of course. Every box is ticked. Everything's been, every I's been dotted and T crossed. So if you want to pitch up there tomorrow, 3:30 to help clean up Douglas Head, park at Douglas Head opposite Manx Radio, and wear suitable clothes for the weather, which will be okay tomorrow. It's 3:30 tomorrow, Douglas Head Buddies. Tommy's with us now. Hi, Tommy.
Oh, hi, Andy. I'm just wondering, do you know where the William Kennish Engineering Centre is, Andy?
No, where is it?
It's on Greenfield Road.
Oh, towards towards the college.
Yes, yeah, of course. It's about it's near the top as you go up, and I don't know what sort of engineering place it is, Andy. It's obviously your apprentices, and I'm just wondering who goes in the place, who uses it, because you rarely see anybody sort of coming in or out. And what sort of engineering place is it, Andy?
All right, anybody know? We'll try and find out, Tommy. Okay, thanks, Tommy.
Yeah, cheers, Bob.
Good to hear from you. So if you ever thought that Douglas Promenade refurbishment was finished, you have to think again. There are many defects which infrastructure need to talk with the contractors about. Alden, that is. 900 defects. Some of those still need work are being listed in Key's Questions. Tim Crookall, MHK, a former infrastructure minister himself, quizzed the present holder of that role, Chris Thomas, MHK.
There were two of the crossings where there's been subsidence or trip hazards on those, and they've been there for weeks now, and one of them is certainly outside of Sefton, is not good. It's quite deep. There are inspection chambers that are sinking and rattling in front of hotels and all sorts. I'd be very surprised if they haven't had complaints about those. And there's also outside the one of the hotels, the Empress, as you go across the tactile paving onto the promenade, you step straight off the curb off the promenade, and anybody with a visual impairment has got a 4-inch drop there, and that was promised to be sorted and it's never been sorted. And finally, at the far end of the promenade, I think anywhere after TT Promenade T-shirts, there are no further crossings along there. And that's a huge expanse of area. And people are just expected to cross between the traffic.
Over 900 defects were notified through the contractual process. And of these, there are many defects that remain outstanding and require financial assessment to facilitate their acceptance under the contract. So I acknowledge those defects. In terms of that list, and this is not definitive, obviously, because of the place in which I'm giving this answer, but I don't believe the further crossings down the far end of the promenade are defects, but I think most of the others sound to me like they will be defects. The promenade, a major point of discussion has been the concrete, the red concrete, which again is being treated as a defect under the construction contract and or the professional services contract. So in summary, discussions are ongoing with the expectation of reaching agreement. If agreement cannot be reached, then the department or the parties may initiate the arbitration procedures, etc.
Got a note in from Mary, said that that controversial Manx education at QE2 was actually on the BBC on Radio 4 on Woman's Hour today. We're still making the news with it, aren't we? Malice said, well said on the apprenticeships. The government needs to show, the companies need to show the next generation how to do their jobs and stay on for a bit to show them the ropes. The government's way is to get firms from across to do lots of work instead of showing the ones or training them up to do the work that needs to be done here, says Mallon. Well, thanks for your contributions today. We're back tomorrow with an open line, Thursday open line. Friday, it's Home Affairs and Justice. Jane Paul Wilson, MHK, the Minister. Dan Davies, the Chief Exec, are going to be along. So looking forward to that on Friday. But open line tomorrow. Thanks to Paul Moran on the phones today. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. W-I-N-T.